we're focusing on this week again in Luke's Gospel, chapter 16. Very interesting chapter. In fact, this whole part of Luke's Gospel focuses on, if you have a red letter edition, you'll see that it focuses on all of Jesus' teachings, his parables, and it's just a, I don't know, it's such a blessing. All the Gospels are, but this particular one is very, very special. And in chapter 16, last week, we looked at the shrewd manager and about cheating and some other things. And this week is very different. And it's starting at verse 19 through 31. And again, it's a red letter edition. Here, God's Word, New Living Translation, about the rich man and Lazarus. Jesus said, "There was a certain rich man who was splendidly clothed and who lived each day in luxury. At his door lay a deceased beggar named Lazarus. As Lazarus lay there longing for scraps from the rich man's table, the dogs would come and lick his open sores. Finally, the beggar died and was carried by the angels to be with Abraham. The rich man also died and was buried. And his soul went to the place of the dead. There, in torment, he saw Lazarus in a far distance with Abraham. The rich man shouted, 'Father Abraham, have some pity. Send Lazarus over here to dip the tip of his finger in the water and cool my tongue, because I am in anguish in these flames.' But Abraham said to him, 'Son, remember that during your lifetime you had everything you wanted and Lazarus had nothing. So now he is being comforted and you are in anguish. And besides, there's a great chasm separating us. Anyone who wanted to cross over to you from here is stopped at its edge, and no one there can cross over to us.' Then the rich man said, 'Please, Father Abraham, send him here to my father's home, for I have five brothers, and I want to warn him about this place of torment, so they won't have to come here when they die.' But Abraham said, 'Moses and the prophets have warned them. Your brothers can read their writings anytime they want to.' The rich man replied, 'No, Father Abraham, but if someone is sent to them from the dead, then they will turn from their sins.'" Verse 31. But Abraham said, "If they won't listen to Moses and the prophets, they won't listen even if someone rises from the dead." May God add his blessings to the reading, the hearing, and the understanding of his holy and precious word. I love old television programs. There's some of the old game shows that are very interesting. One of them was called Truth or Consequences. And I did a little research because I used to like to watch that program. And it was back in 1961. Bob Barker was the host. He, as you know, recently was the host of The Price is Right. My mind just wandered off. The Price is Right. Not now, because I think Brother Barker went home to be with the Lord. Truth or Consequences? No, I've entitled my message this week, Truth and Consequences. If you remember last week, we talked about Jesus' parable of the shrewd manager and the idea of mitzvah, carrying out God's commandments to do good on behalf of others, which really is the way of bonding with God and our neighbors in relationship. As the elite men in the crowd who were listening to Jesus growling, Jesus told yet another parable back to back with that one. And as the scripture that I just read continued, Jesus interchanged with the parable of the rich man and Lazarus. Now, this is not the same Lazarus that Jesus raised from the dead. This is a Lazarus also, and there's a very common name, Lazarus, like there's common names in our day and time. But the parable of the rich man and Lazarus. This is the only time that Jesus used an actual name of a person in his parable. And it is the name Lazarus, derived from the Hebrew Lazaros, which means whom God has helped. The word comes from the word elazi, which means God helps. So here, this is the story of one who God has helped. And I'll leave you to decide the consequences or not, because if you remember, Jesus uses little tricky things in his parables to kind of keep our attention. Surely it's Lazarus, but it may also be those who read about the story of the rich man. It may even be you. You might be a rich person. I'll give you another hint that may help you to understand this parable better. Charles Dickens used this story as the basis of one of his most famous stories, but he changed the ending. He decided to do that. Can anyone think about or even guess why he did that? I think you might remember the story, A Christmas Carol. And what happened in that story? Let's just take a moment and go through the main plot. Scrooge, if you remember, very rich, but he's a very stingy man. His former partner, Marley, has died before him. And it's nearly Christmas, and Scrooge is, in his usual way, giving everybody a hard time about the celebration of Christmas and refusing to take part in any kind of brotherly love or even human consideration. Well, that night, he's visited by his dead friend Marley, who comes to warn Scrooge that in his current way of living will lead to terrible doom in the afterlife. Now Marley sports chains and groans to prove it. But as Scrooge tries to ignore his friend, chalking up the vision, you know, the hallucination, ate some kind of crazy beef and I'm just hallucinating, Marley informs Scrooge that he will be visited that night by three ghosts. And as we know, Scrooge is visited by three ghosts, so Christmas past, Christmas present, and Christmas future. So as Scrooge is brought face to face with his own hurts and pains, hardening of his heart, and subsequent cold deeds, he finally realizes the state of his soul and is in an isolated condition and repents, only to find that it's still Christmas morning. A changed man, Scrooge visits his nephew, brings him food, and blesses everyone he meets. He had an entire repentance and change, not only of heart, but of life and action. Okay, well, let's get back to the Jesus story, because that's what we're talking about. The rich man and Lazarus. Though Jesus' story may take up only a few paragraphs in the Gospel of Luke, it is rich with meaning and metaphors, and just as chilling to the soul. We hear of a rich man who feasted scrumptiously every day. He never had lack for anything. But his gate lies a poor man named Lazarus, the one who God will help. Lazarus longed for the scraps from the rich man's table, and he desired merely the scraps and crumbs that would have been enough for him. But the story doesn't say if he ever got any. It only says he longed for them. Now, we don't know if the rich man ever relented, but if he did, it surely wasn't much. But when he died, he went to be with Abraham, and then later the rich man died as well. Well, the rich man went to Hades, or some translations say hell. Lazarus was with Abraham, and oddly, they were able to carry on a conversation, even though Abraham tells him he can't do anything for him because of this great chasm that has been fixed, so that those who might want to pass from here to you can't do so, and no one can cross from there to us. Isn't that interesting? And we'll come back to this in a minute. To this, the rich man asked Abraham, at least, send Lazarus to the father's house, for he has five brothers, whom we assume are just as unconcerned with the poor as he was, that, you know, they might be warned. so they will not come to the same end as I have. Wow. Sound familiar? Well, unlike Dickinson's tale, here Abraham replies. Well, they have Moses and the prophets. And the rich man pleads, but if someone goes to them from the dead, they'll repent. Abraham said, if they did not listen to Moses and the prophets, neither will they be convinced even if someone rises from the dead. Whereas Dickens believed that we can be persuaded, just like Scrooge was, by the appearance of ghosts. Abraham points to the stubbornness of certain types of people. Then he notes that if they aren't persuaded by the entire scripture and the stories therein, they aren't going to be persuaded by someone rising from the dead. Can you tell that?